Question for you is, do you know Christ? Do you know Christ? I don't care what label you are, do you know Christ? Out of all of the sermons that we have preached through Mark so far, this one is the most important. This one is the most serious to me, and it has heavy consequences on the line, especially for us. Us churchgoers, us who live in the Bible Belt, us who think we've been Christian our whole lives, us American Christians. We are church-going, Bible Belt-belonging American Christians who might not be Christians at all. Some of us call ourselves Christians just because we're not Muslim. We're not Buddhist. We're not Hindu. And so when you check the box, you write, Christian, I'm American. You're Indian. You live in India. You're a Hindu. You're an American. You're a Christian. So we're going to see today three things in the Bible that you never thought possible. The three things that we're going to ask ourselves, is it possible to be sinning in your religion? Do you ever even think that was possible? Be sinning in your religion. We think that we're being religious by doing religious things, when in reality our hearts are not in it, and you are sinning. You can sin in your religiousness, and we'll see that today. We will have the right words to say, directed at the right God, and still be sinning. Is that even possible? Number two, is it possible that Jesus condemns people who do this? That's so hard for us because Jesus loves what? Everybody. Right? And we have invented a view of Jesus in our minds that he would never judge anybody because he's Jesus. That's his job. It's like Grandpa Earl, right? He's just always happy. Never mad at anybody, but certainly Jesus would not condemn religious people. He might condemn the sinners, but not the religious people. People being religious, and Jesus is proud of those people, right? They're doing all the things. They're at the temple, but their hearts are nowhere near it. Their hearts are far from him. They're not genuine, they're not real, but they're acting. They have tricked their own hearts into thinking they are Christians. Now, it's easy to see this in someone else, right? You probably already thought about somebody else, right? I know who he's talking about. But the third thing I want to see us today, is it possible that this is me? Is it possible that Jesus is talking about me? Honor him with my lips, but my heart doesn't love him at all. Mark chapter 7, that's where we're going to be today. Go ahead and open your Bibles. We're going to read through this. I just want you to feel it unfold as it happened in Jesus' life. And ask, is this me? One day, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. This isn't that they were just like worried about cleanliness. They were worried about religious rituals. Three, the Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands, as required by their ancient traditions. Similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they've immersed their hands in water. This is one of many traditions they have clung to, such as ceremonially washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked him, "Why do your disciples not follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony." They are not breaking scripture. They are not disobeying God's word. They are disobeying tradition. And so Jesus responds, verse 6, I'm sorry this offended you. He doesn't say that. He says, you hypocrites. Whoa. We got to get this like passive Jesus out of your mind. Like he had chest hair. Okay, here we go. A hypocrite is not what you think. You guys in today's society think a hypocrite is somebody who says one thing and then does another, right? That's what you think a hypocrite is. Like, do as I say, not as I do. No, the word for hypocrite was a theater word. It was a word for plays and acting. That's what hypocrite was an actor. Someone who is a pretender. They're not genuine. Someone who plays the part, but it's not real. Someone who looks the character, talks the character, acts the character, but they're not real. They are pretending. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. What did Isaiah say? These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce. Farce. I looked up what that word means. It's something that's supposed to be serious, but has turned into ridiculousness. It's something that's pointless, meaningless, aimless. It's a farce. And they teach man-made ideas as if they were commandments from God. They were not authentic. They were not real. They were just religious. Religion is not the path to God. Religion is not the path to God. A sincere heart of faith is. Up on the screen. There we go. Do I have a slide? That's okay. I gave the sound booth like 25 slides today. We gotta apologize to them. Okay, look at verse 8. This is Jesus still talking. You ignore God's law and you substitute your own tradition. He's gonna use God's law and it's God's word. Anything he spoke. So he's gonna give them another one, verse 9. Then he said, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. For instance, now watch this. He's going to give him an example. Moses gave you this law from God, honor your father and mother. And anyone, this is how serious it is, anyone who speaks disrespectfully of a father or mother must be put to death. That's the seriousness. But you say it is okay for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't take care of you. Sorry, I can't help you because I have vowed to give it to God. And what I would have given to you, I've given it to God. In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. Now pause there. This is important. Honor your father and mother. That's God's word. So straightforward. Take care of your family. That's the command. Did you know there's a scripture in 1 Timothy 5:8 that says, if you don't take care of your widowed mom, you are worse than an unbeliever and you have denied the faith. That's how serious it was. And the church here, Jewish synagogues, were sidestepping, loopholing to get around caring for your parents. Because if you would vow it to give to God, then you were all of a sudden in charge of all the money and you got to benefit and then the church got to benefit and your parents got left out. And Jesus is mad. Look at verse 13. This is what he's really mad about. You cancel the word of God in order to hand down your tradition. And this is just one of many examples. Track what just happened here, just so you get the story. They accused Jesus of breaking rituals, hand-washing rituals. Not for cleanliness, but for religion. He quotes scripture to them and condemns them, and then he points out an entirely different issue where they are putting tradition over scripture. Just in these 13 verses, circle them if it's not your Bible, circle them. Verse 2, ritual. Verse 3, tradition. Just in these 13 verses. Verse 4, tradition. Verse 5, tradition. Verse 7, man-made ideas. Verse 8, tradition. Verse 9, tradition. Verse 13, tradition. So number one, is it possible to sin in my religiousness? Religiousness, yes. Is that even a word? Yes. And is it possible that Jesus condemns people who do this? Yes. As you read through the life of Christ, you will find that he is compassionate on people who are deceived by false religion. And he is angry and severe on those who are deceivers, the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of religious law. He's ready to fight them in Matthew 23. They had developed a system outside of what Scripture teaches. This is what it looks like to be religious, and then they would judge people according to it. You're not washing your hands in the way that we think you should. They made their own tradition and judged people by it. So this is a hard question. I debated whether to put it in here. Ask yourself, do I know more about tradition or more about Scripture? Ta-da! I mean, that's a real thing. This is what I was taught. Well, was it more about tradition or was it more about what the Bible says? These are hard questions. And I'm pleading with you, is it possible that you have placed your faith in traditions rather than Scripture? That you have placed your faith in religion rather than a real relationship with Christ? And when I say real relationship with Christ and you think immediately I need to be more religious, you probably have the wrong idea. I mean, really, ask yourself this. This isn't a game. Is it possible that I have played the part of a Christian? Is it possible that I have talked the talk of a Christian? That I have acted the Christian part, but I have no genuine affection for the Savior? Is that possible? That I have no genuine trust in Jesus? That I have no genuine relationship with Christ? Well, God doesn't want you to be tricked. He's not waiting for the end of your life to do a gotcha moment. You thought. He wants you to genuinely believe. He wants your heart. He doesn't want your actions. There's even a spot in the Old Testament in Malachi where he says, I wish someone would just shut the doors to the church because these people are coming in and they don't mean it. Malachi 1. So this week, I really thought through this long and hard, and I thought, how do I convince someone who thinks that they are a Christian that they might not be a Christian for the purpose of then becoming a Christian? Who wants my job? There's nobody in line behind me. Here's what I did. I walked through the longest chapter in the Bible, which is Psalm 119, and it just simply describes someone who gets it. It just simply describes first person someone who has genuine faith in Jesus. And ask yourself as I read through these, does this describe my heart? Number one, is God's word boring to you? Is God's word boring to you? Psalm 119:72. These are all going to be in Psalm 119. Your instructions, your word, is more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver. Do you mean that? Or would you rather win the lottery than have your Bible? Psalm 119:116, or verse 16. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Delight in his word. Now, let's not pretend that we delight in his word when we actually gag to read our Bibles. How about this one? Do you think about God often? I mean, be honest. Do you only think about God when someone else brings it up? Psalm 119:97. All day. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Psalm 119, verse 147. I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and I put my hope in your word. 148. I stay awake through the night thinking about what? All that God's promised to us. Is God a treasure to you? Is he a treasure to you? Or is he just somebody you need once you die? 119:11. Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. This psalmist is not lying. He's not trying to make himself believe something he doesn't. 119 verse 18. Open my eyes to the wonderful truths in your word. That's a prayer. Pray that. I want to see what you are. 119:162. I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure. Now we're going to get a little more personal. Do you hate your sin? Is this a genuine question? Do you hate your sin or do you love your sin? 119:137. Turn my eyes from worthless things. Pray that over your phone scrolling at night, men. Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. This is so foreign to us, isn't it? 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart. Why? Because I don't want to sin against you. 119:67. I used to wander off until you disciplined me, but now I closely follow the word. How about this one? Are you bothered when Christ is dishonored? These are just simple things that genuine Christians feel. And if you are a genuine Christian, you've said amen at every one of these things. Are you bothered when Christ is dishonored? 119:136. Rivers of tears gush from my eyes because people disobey your word. Have you cried over people who just don't know God? 119:158. Seeing these traitors makes me sick at heart because they care nothing for your word. Have you ever felt that? 119:104. Sorry, I'm giving you too much Bible. Not sorry, actually. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Give the sound booth a round of applause for clicking through all those slides. They do this every week and they don't complain. That to my face. Stupid pastor. Do you push aside God's word or do you actually tremble at it? Go home and read Psalm 119 today. The whole thing is amazing. And just see, does this describe me? Don't act, don't pretend. Back to Mark 7, he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. This is not a sermon for someone else. Don't think I know who I'm going to send this to today. Ask yourself, am I this? This is between you and God. Are you genuinely trusting in Christ? And may you wrestle with this question personally until your confidence comes from God's word alone and nothing else, until no one else would be able to talk you out of it. All the devils of hell could get you to doubt your faith, but you're convinced that God is true. Let's pray. Father, we barely know who you are. You've sent your Son to show us the way to be saved. You sent your Son to die in our place that we might live for him. And I don't want our hearts to be actors. I don't want my heart to be pretending. And you know the difference. And so we're asking that all of us would do serious heart-level work with you in the coming weeks as we wrestle through your word and then respond genuinely. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.